Welcome back. This is Newsfile. It's your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, as always, we put Ghana first. My guest, Dr. Sribo Kwaku, is Director of Electoral Services at the Electoral Commission. Kofi Bento is a lawyer and Senior Vice President, Imani Africa. Elvis Efrian is Director, Elections, National Democratic Congress. Naneya Achampim Jantwa is Secretary of the CPP, and also we have Dr. John Osai Kwapong of the CDD. And this program is brought to you, as always, by the kindest sponsorship of Bank of Africa, strong as a group and close as a partner, MTN everywhere you go, Ashesi University, educating ethical and entrepreneurial leaders for Africa. Robert and Sons Optical Services, your comprehensive eye care service provider for 31 years. We lead properties. Home is where one starts. Fanat, Ghana, think wood, think Fanat. And Duroplast, where Duroplast goes, water flows. Star Assurance, your solid partner. And St. Thomas Eye Hospital, that is your number one specialist in all your eye solutions. Now, let me share some of the views that have come through. Now, this one from Broja Jemfi of the NDC, he says that the voters register is not only for presidential and parliamentary elections. It is also used for district assembly elections and by-elections. So for Dr. Sribo to say the NIA can use 2 years to complete its work is moot. They want to disenfranchise Ghanaians on district assembly elections, and we should not allow that to happen. Kwejo Charisma says, please, can you ask them when they are going to solve the mistakes on the carts? In Ghana, living outside Accra is like a curse. I called them one day and they told me to come to Accra before they can do something about it. How can I travel all the way from the Western region like that? And I share your pain. Last week, we showed you videos and interviews with elderly people, one from the upper region, one from Oda. The one from Oda actually could not walk. He was in wheelchair. And the one from the upper east region had chased his card for so long, he had to come to Accra. And even when he came here, there was no certainty that he would get it. That's the indignity that people should not be put through. That one, it ought to be said as it is. Akosia says, if we don't enforce the right laws on what and how our voter registration should be, there will always going to be a ding-dong battle between political parties and the EC because when it comes to, so you're using some short language that I can't understand.
Generation Z.
When it comes to power, it will do something to disadvantage, likewise, the other. Gasma One says, can we have proof of the number of cars they have? That's the NIA printed thus far. I'm of the view that the number as published must be verified and analyzed. That's going to be a job. Zonbank, that's your name, says, I'm sure we have learned useful lessons from 2020. Fighting the Electoral Commission is not about press conferences or press releases. It is not about going to court. It starts and ends with your MPs and Speaker of Parliament. If they fail, kiss 2024 goodbye. Samuel Lamte, how we have managed to reduce the credibility of our passport, birth certificate, etc., as a primary source of identification is baffling. Jam Wayo, is it Woya? Says, we have already wasted hundreds of millions of CDs on voters' ID for 2020 elections. Someone must pay for this. While other countries are thinking of the next 20, 30 years, we are only thinking about the next elections. We are just not really ready for progress. Peter Doe says, kindly ask Dr. Sribo which part of the law indicates that the EC is to use NIA card. That's what they are seeking to do now. It's not in any law yet. That the NIA is to use a Ghana card as the only form of identification to acquire voters' card. And he showed you the constitutional provision where they are empowered to make CIs, constitutional instruments. This one from J. Bequeen says, in as much as we all aspire to have a smart economy society, the EC must tread cautiously in its, quote, good will haste, end quote, to use only the Ghana card as eligibility criteria for our continuous elections. And Ni Chachu says, why is the National Identification Authority unable to publish a district by district breakdown of the registration they did? How are they able to get the total figure on their website without the district figures? So more and more questions. Yakubu Ibn Chamba says, a balanced resolution of the controversy surrounding the registration process is required between the NIA, the EC, and other disgruntled political parties, a middle ground that allows for all parties to have an open discussion on the roadmap towards a perfect electoral system. Perfect, you mean? It is important that the issue of registration and credibility of EC are reignited for discussion, since the EC's integrity had been put on the line in bygone times. This is the right time for stakeholders in Ghana's electoral system to find a one-size-fits-for-all solutions to the registration hullabaloo. Okay, I have to end it there. This one from Frank Anderson. Okay, that's a long letter. I have to take my time. I can't read that. It's too long. Let me try. It says that in the UK, we have various forms of identification for voting, you mean? I.e. passport or a driver's license. If you have no ID, a birth certificate, national insurance card can be accepted if accompanied by a countersigned picture by somebody who can confirm your identity, i.e. a lawyer, doctor, nurse, accountant, religious leader, etc. National identification has been turned upside down. Should have started from hospitals where babies are born. Every child is born with a known surname. We should be able to create a system in various hospitals with simple application such that once a child is born, vital details are recorded. Thank you for your message. I think I can take a pause here and then bring an important issue. Okay, so someone says, you can't cure a problem of tension between people by excluding a major political party. You can't cure a problem of tension between political parties by excluding a major political party from the solution. Dr. Kwapong, this is where I want you to share briefly how you think the problem between the NDC and the EC can be resolved. It's taking... it doesn't look like there's a solution in sight. I thought that by now this would have been resolved.
And I'm wondering if part of it is also hangover, lingering issues from the disputed 2020 elections from their perspective. The only way I can see this thing getting resolved is that there has to be dialogue, open, frank, honest dialogue, probably with some mediators as well. Maybe an institution like the Council of State can mediate whatever tension exists between the NDC and the Electoral Commission.
Who should be initiating that?
Who should be initiating the conversation? Good point. I mean, the EC, for example, I don't see anything wrong with the EC reaching out to, a body, like the Council of State and saying, look, this issue can't continue forever. We are 2 years up against an election. Would you be willing to play a mediating role? Alternatively, the NDC as a party can also find or look for an institution or certain individuals that it trusts to serve as honest peace brokers between themselves and the EC, because otherwise this thing would continue until, you know, the 2024 election.
Thank you.
Really don't want that.
Kofi, is this mediation process or something, is it possible, looking at what the NDC's grievances have been, including particularly centered around individuals within the Electoral Commission who will be there anyway?
Yes, it is possible. I mean, these are fine gentlemen. But we need to start from the fundamental. I totally appreciate what Prof. Papon just said, as I Papon just said, that somebody should reach out to somebody. And honestly, whatever we have to say about the Council of States, this is what they should be doing. That said, the EC is a creature of law. The EC does not need the pleasure of the NDC or any party for that matter. If the EC just does what is lawful, the NDC can choose to stay away, but they won't have an issue. If you take this particular issue we are discussing right now, for instance, clearly what the EC is doing is skirting the law. And therefore, it is not about whether the NDC is happy or not. The NDC is raising legal questions, and they are right. What if people are qualified to vote, but they do not have a Ghana card? Okay, so okay. Here's the thing. I think there's a mistrust, and the mistrust has been earned by the EC. The EC needs to work on itself to appreciate that. It needs to earn that trust. However, if somebody chooses not to trust you, you can't force it. It should do what is squarely within the law. If you take this case we are discussing, you have CPP here, NDC here, I am a think tank person, CDD is here. We disagree with each other on different things, but on this matter, we all agree, and the EC stands alone. We can show in law why they shouldn't be doing what they are doing, but still, they insist. You cannot repair breaches when you have this kind of attitude. Look, EC can reconcile with the parties. It needs to do so. Indeed, it is more or less like a supervisor of the parties, and I think that's what we are going to come to. It should be weeding off unnecessary, you know, institutions.
Okay, thank you, Kofi. Nanaya, you have been sitting at IPAC. This clearly, the tension doesn't bode well going into the next elections. And you can hear the vitriol language. And even in some of the messages that we have received here, we seem to believe that the people who watch and listen to us, they sanitize what they send. But some of the messages, we can't read them because they seem to suggest that if the EC is not careful, something might happen. How do you suggest, you know, this, you know, bridge, you know, this can be bridged, the difference?
There's nothing that cannot be resolved. I believe that whatever the situation is, the NDC and the EC should bury their differences.
How?
For the sake of the nation.
How should they do that?
We have to bring in an independent body like the Peace Council. If you bring in the Council of State, the chairman of the Council of State is appointed by the president. In their mind, the people already compromised. So you cannot use the Council of State. The Peace Council is an independent body. They can come in to resolve the matter. They started resolving the matter, and I'm surprised at this time it has not been resolved yet. The issues that they are talking about, there's not much we can do about it. Can we go back and say that annul the 2020 elections? No. We have been under the MPP getting to almost 3 years. So it means we have accepted the president is there. We have accepted that that is what it is. So whatever the situation is, for democracy to grow, for us to be together, for us not to endanger the peace of the nation, I believe that we should call it, political parties should call on the Peace Council to come in and broker peace.
All right.
And any who can do it is welcome to do. We started the conversation. I think that moving forward, we should take it further than what we are talking about.
Okay. Dr. Shobokoku, we didn't advertise that we'll have this discussion, but it just came up. What is the EC doing about this? Are you reaching out somehow, somewhat, because you are the institution, you know, responsible, and you need this to happen, as it were?
If you heard me, as part of my presentation, I said that anytime we are calling for a meeting, even though they have not been coming, we still send them invitation. When we take a decision at the minute, we send them copies. So we are still there. And they have to come. Because the only place you can judge is Arapat, where all your colleagues are there. Because you cannot be discussing with only one party. When you finish, you bring it to the iPad, and the rest will be very hostile to you.
What I mean is that they have grievances they have made known to you. Resolving that, is that not the case?
Well, I'm not aware of the grievances. Because what they said that I heard was that any meeting that has something to do with the 2020 election, they are not ready to be part. So that is the reference point.
Mm.
So as long as you have called a meeting to deliberate, review 2020 anything that has to do with 2020 election, they will not be part of it. Mm. And 2020 has another agenda, as I said.
Let's get to the next issue. But Elvis said, "What will it take?
Okay.
What will it take to build bridges and get over your grievances with the EC and get back there? Because you must be there."
Okay, we will be there, but our participation must be meaningful. If the IPAC becomes a forum where you go and the EC will impose whatever they choose, and you can see from even the posturing of Dr. Srebo, they are impervious to other views and perspectives.
Oh, is that what
Nandaya, he has done? Nandaya Jantua told you she was in that meeting. She belongs to the CPP. In the absence of the NDC, let's say she represents the opposition. She said, add another identity document. They won't listen. Let me tell you practically, in practical terms, what has been happening and what precipitated our boycotts, apart from the issues of the election. For some time now, many, many parties were registered and they started coming to IPAC. We didn't know them. We are political actors. We know ourselves. Mm. Some of the people, we have never seen them before. You don't even know them. They come to IPAC. When there is a critical decision, we express our views. In the past, we express our views, subcommittees are formed, then we arrive at the middle ground. So for instance, on this matter, the position of the EC will be only NIA card. Perhaps the MPP may support them. Then the other parties and us will say, look, add something else. The consensus will be key. NIA card and then something else. Over the past few years, since Madam Jemensa took office, what has been happening is that the EC takes a position, comes to the floor, they put it out there, we will debate, bring up all the issues, right, raise all the arguments. Sometimes civil society supports us, everybody else, media will support us. The EC will insist. At the end of the day, they'll say, let's vote. Or the people will just say, yeah. I mean, this cannot continue.
Okay.
So we go to the meeting and there's no meaningful discussion. Our views are not taken on board. So we cannot be part of an institution where our views are not respected, our views are not taken on board. The EC imposes its views on us. And then we just say, they'll come out and say, well, you are part of
it. It is not the case that you insist on having your way all the time.
Let me just give you practical case studies, okay? On the EC wrote to us, asking us to nominate two people for the subcommittee on the new constitutional instrument. Since December 2021. We wrote to them. We said, we write in response to your letter on 18 November 2021, referenced on the matter of discussions on the draft of the CI on registration of voters, and wish to inform you that FEC has nominated Alhaji Hudu Yahya Esquire and Honorable Daniel Amate as its representatives on the subcommittee. Does this look like somebody who doesn't want to cooperate? Now, what happened? Subsequently, Alhaji Hudu Yahya was called, told about the meeting. A few days before the meeting, he was called again and told that the meeting has been rescheduled. We haven't heard from them again. My deputy, Amate, called Dr. Srebo Kwaku. And you see, these are the things that they do. And then when there is mistrust, they turn around and say, we don't trust them. There is a reason. He lied right now on air that there's a subcommittee and Anaya is part of it. At what point does the subcommittee work? The subcommittee.
You said your deputy called
Dr. Srebo Kwaku and asked him about the meeting. When is the meeting going to happen? He said, anytime there's a meeting, they will call them. They haven't called them. And yet they finished with this draft and sent it to Parliament. At what point do you form the committee?
Dr. Koko is right. Let me make my point.
Yeah. It says discussions on the draft of the CI on registration of voters. So, and what has been the practice in the past? That subcommittee meets to look at this draft and makes inputs.
Okay. Okay. But you made a serious allegation, and yes, let him respond.
This is the
accusation.
Document.
Yes. Yes, Dr. Sirowokaku, how do you respond to that?
Samson, I would have been happier if FEA will read the letter that we sent to them. As I said, and I know is here, even the CI, it is still there, that there will be the modalities will be discussed by the parties, not the draft. Like I said, the draft was discussed and been discussed at IPAC. So that one is different. But in the draft, the CI, if you look at it, there's a portion that said that the modalities will be discussed by a party, and that's why we go to them that they should nominate. And that's what I said, Nanaya is one of them. So the modalities have not been discussed because the CI has not been passed. So it's when the CI has been passed, then now we have the law. Then within the CI, you said that the parties will meet and discuss the modalities, the committee. That's where you ask them to nominate. So we ask them to nominate somebody who will serve on the modality committee, not the drafting. But the drafting was discussed at IPAC. So Nanaya is there, if I'm lying, he will tell you.
But the letter says, okay, we quoted discussions on the draft of the CI. And what has been the practice
that's,
over the years?
That's what you are quoting here.
Yes, we are quoting from their letter.
In their letter. No, this is your letter.
Yes, but we are quoting from their letter. In any case, Samson, let's not even go what has been the practice over the years. You cannot thank me, Samson. It's a very important point.
We need to get to the next
issue. It borders on the credibility of the EC. Okay? What has been the practice over the years before the CI? The parties nominate people. Obi Amwa, because he belonged to the opposition then, was the chairman of that committee. Hudu Yaya was part of it. They make inputs into the CI before it goes to parliament. So I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
So these are some of the things that create mistrust.
But that
beyond that,
please. Discussed at
so why then did you write to us asking us to nominate somebody? Why then did you write to us asking us to nominate somebody or discuss the draft CI, which has been the practice over the years? Is it that now you have changed this, a new electoral commission, that you've changed existing practices that have served this nation?
Okay.
That we discuss, we make inputs. Are we rubber stamps?
Thank you.
That we will not have an input into the CI. The CI will be passed, then ex post facto will come and discuss the implementation. Does it make sense to you? Okay. You must have an input into the CI.
All right.
Because
thank
the CI that will
thank
determine
you.
How it will be implemented. In any case,
all right.
Samson.
I'm coming.
We had an agreement. Let me make my concluding point.
Because I told you I had to leave. I'm traveling out of town. So please, respectfully, we agreed. All right? Because I'll leave. And the rest of them will have all the time. Respectfully, please. Thank you very much. So I want to reiterate the issues we have with the NIA card as being the sole document. One, people are traveling long distances. The cost, for example, the distance between Bole and Bamboi is over 3 hours. Imagine a poor farmer in the village has to travel 3 hours. When he gets to the district office, there's no guarantee that even he will get his card on that day. It comes at a higher cost to them. And then people are supposed to pay 250 CDs for express service. I mean, look at this economy. That should be looked at. And the NIA, as I said earlier, accepts guarantors for those who do not have primary documents. So why is it that the EC cannot accept secondary documents? Now, there are some very serious internal inconsistencies with some of the clauses. And the first one is, if you look at Regulation 6.1d, it says that the...
So it's supposed to be a CI, so it will be a Section 6.1d.
Section 6.1d. It says that the registration supervisor would make prompt written reports to the regional director of the commission. And that's what Dr. Farajan reads. That why do they write directly to the regional director? It should go to the district director, because the district director is the one who is well-versed with the issues.
So it's a CI, but it's regulation. So it's a regulation.
Okay, so I was correct.
Yes, so we keep to what we say.
Okay, the proposed law.
Right.
Okay. Then you go to 2.1. Also talks about location, and we have a challenge with that, because if you look at the commission shall designate the district office, that is related to what I said earlier, that if you're doing the registration only at the district office, and it says any place it deems appropriate, based on our experience, especially during the last registration, because these things were not clear, we had situations where, again, a place like Adaku may have only 2 BVDs. and Swami will have 14-20. So it's important that there is clarity on those issues. And then 33-1. 33-1. Yeah, okay. It says the CI 91 is revoked, and then CI-126 is revoked. Then listen to three, and this is some lawyers have raised.
CI-91 is what was made in 2016.
Exactly.
To guide the 2016
exactly.
Registration of voters.
Mm-hmm.
And CI-126 is what was made to regulate 2020.
Then it says, despite the revocation under sub-regulations 1 and 2, the existing register of voters is saved under these regulations until a new one is compiled by the commission. Some legal people are saying there's something wrong with this language, because this language can open the room, okay, after this CI is passed, for the EC to also create a new register. Because the legal language, you are the lawyers. The lawyers have spoken
to this. It's a savings clause.
It's not very clear.
It's very normal.
But some lawyers have raised issues about it.
Okay.
And knowing the history of this EC, we don't want to take chances.
Okay.
Now, we, after the elections, went to court, and you know, we had a 7-0 unanimous. We decided to do electoral reforms. Nana Tudazi, Professor Kwame Nahuel, we engaged civil society, media, Christian community, Muslim community, did a thorough job. Subsequently, we wrote to the Electoral Commission and gave them a copy of our proposals. They acknowledged receipt, written receipt, and said we'll be hearing from them. Since then, the EC, we haven't heard anything from them. They are not telling us anything. So if people are saying that we are not engaging the EC, in spite of the fact that we are not at IPA, we
thought that they have been clear with you that they had organized a review of 2020 elections, you know, platform, which you didn't participate.
Okay.
And that is where you ought to
So the biggest opposition party with 137 members of parliament, their views are not important. That's what you're saying.
I'm telling you what they told you.
Yes. So does it make sense to you? That our views are not important. So if that is their position,
I don't want us to get
discussions. It's related, because Nanaya said, why are we not coming back to IPAC? We're saying that the EC should write to us, telling us that we should engage. Somebody's talking about engagement. Let's engage on the reforms.
Unfortunately, I will not be able to give the EC to rebut anything.
After every election, it is not the EC that does a review.
All right.
You cannot write exam and review your own exam.
Thank you. Since you are leaving us,
you understand me?
In 1 minute, what will you say about the move to, you know, check the defaulting parties? Because you certainly are concerned that too many of them are springing up and being used to vote against you at IPAC.
They heckle us. They make noise. Yeah. So let's see.
What do you say about that?
The proof of the pudding is in the eating. We're waiting to see how the EC would implement that in a very fair and firm manner. I want to see it done in a very transparent manner. And I believe that if that is done, there will be no problem.
Thank you.
But with this particular EC,
to deal with the question of what the EC is doing,
I measured them as
to defaulting parties and moribund parties. We'll be right back.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
What does money mean to you?
It means convenience. It gives me the ability to do business at my own pace.
It allows me to live my life with ease and enjoy my lifestyle without interruptions.
Security. I can make investments I can trust, and I know exactly where my money is all the time.
Having the flexibility to do what I want to.
The feeling and peace of mind I get knowing I can safely receive remittances from my family and friends from the comfort of my home. Money means safety.
Money means so many things to so many people. But no matter what you use it for or what it may mean to you, money is the one thing that keeps us going and makes our lives a little bit brighter. So what does money mean to you? Just Momo it.
MTN.
Excellent furnishing in a real estate business is a great deal for survival. My struggles as a young estate developer were cut short when I discovered Fenart Ghana. With quality furniture made from the finest woods and amazing after-sale service, Fenart Ghana changed my story with every single home I built. It's a one-stop shop that serves the interests of clients with a variety of living room and dining sets, solid wood kitchen installations, wardrobes, doors, cabinets, beds, ergolas, floor parquets, and many other wooden products that will last a lifetime. With Fenart Ghana, all clients are offered the opportunity to customize furniture to their specifications, and the smile on their faces says it all. Thanks to Fenart, now your home can look beautiful with furniture that would last for generations. Visit Fenart Ghana today and share my story. Locate us at Deniba Estate, Osu, Accra, or call 0303-966-085 or 055-278-4097. Think wood, think Fenart.
For decades, we have helped businesses connect with their trade partners all over the globe. From Ghana to Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Benin, Togo, Senegal, China, Morocco, France, Netherlands, and many other countries. We have made it possible to bring Ghana to the world. We have brought small and medium businesses closer to their customers across the regions in Ghana with our SME support facilities. We have brought relief and smiles to the faces of families with our employee personal loans. With our cutting-edge technology and digital support.
and whatever else you're looking for or need to pay for. Hubtel presents Ghana's most useful app. Hubtel is everything you.
Discover the secret of Alphabet City. A modern gated community with bright and spacious 2 to 3 bedroom apartment unit situated in a stellar location at Sakumonok. Each apartment block is equipped with elevator, fitted kitchen, and elegant bathroom fixtures. Use an interest-free payment plan of up to 5 years or a mortgage financing of up to 20 years to secure your dream home now. There is nothing more than a secure home. Invest in Alphabet City today for a guaranteed returns on your income property investment. Call us now on 024-11-1119 or 050-4499-9999. Alphabet City, the ABC of home sweet home.
A great journey lies ahead of us all. We all have different paths carved out for us. No matter who you are and the path you're on, make sure you choose a partner you can trust. A partner with integrity who will always give you the support you need when you need it. No matter what you do and where you are in your journey in life, you are very significant, and so is the path you're on.
Consolidated Bank Ghana, CBG, cherishes security as much as you do and shares the same values as you. That is why we are the right financial partner to stand with you. We are now one of the largest banks in Ghana, and we are ready to partner and work with you. CBG, we stand with you.
You're welcome back. This is Newsfile, Siomo's authoritative news analysis platform, brought to you by Bank of Africa, MTN, HSC University, Robert & Sons, Optical Services, Waylead Properties, Fenat Ghana, Thinkwood, Think Fenat, Duroplus, Star Assurance, your solid partner, and St. Thomas Eye Hospital, your number one specialist in all your eye solutions. Now, let me get to Dr. Sribo Okweku right away, because he clearly has a right to respond, however briefly, so that we don't miss the other very important issue that we have to discuss, which also concerns Anaya very much, and Dr. John Osaikwapong, those who are watching the Democratic space. Yes, Dr. Sribo Okweku, what's your reaction to what...
Okay. I think a few three issues that briefly I want to talk about. The first one is respect to the supervisor. The news here very well. You know that it is the district officer who has been labeled as the supervisor, because it is the district officer who will do the registration. So in the CI, once it's been done at the district office, the district officer is the registration officer and also the supervisor. So the supervisor cannot write to the district officer when he's the same person. That's what it is, the supervisor will write to the region director, because the district officer, when compiling the register, becomes the supervisor. So that is the explanation. Two, he said that the registration will take place in the district offices and any other place the commission may determine. My village in Anansu is about almost 80 kilometers from Yehiri. So what we have put in the law is that in the course of the exercise, if it is realized that maybe Bamboi people will find it difficult to boil it, it will come to ask them, say, okay, create another center there so that they can respond to those who are not able to go because of their distance. That's why that cross is there. And the last one about the revocation, something, if you have a CI 91, you can read the revocation, but if a woman will read. Revocation and service, that was cities. CI, which was passed in 2012, it says that Regulation 33, sub-regulation 1, the public elections, regulation of voters, Regulation 2012, CI 72, is hereby revoked. there's subrogation two. Despite the revocation under subrogation one, the existing register of voters is saved under these regulations until a new one is compiled by the Electoral Commission.
I'm sure you heard me. I'm sure you heard me tell him that that is very, very normal in law.
I heard you, but he was disputing it. That's why I want to read the law.
He's saying that some lawyers. He's saying that some lawyers have a different view. Let's wait at the appropriate time if those lawyers will tell us what exactly the alternative view is, because this is traditional in law making. So this is the proposed law. Now, just a couple more messages, and then I have you speak to the questioning of what you are seeking to do, clean up your register. And Ernest says that what should happen is never again should a sitting president be allowed to change the electoral commissioner. It breeds too much mistrust. It has never happened before in the Fourth Republic. Same with Domelevo, and that is why we are where we are. Musa Abatoa from Asawase in Kumasi says the EC shouldn't behave as if they have a birthright to decide who qualifies to be a Ghanaian, because Article 41 is clear. The decision to use Ghana card as the only means for identification in a layman's approach is clearly wrong. Their interest must always be in the collective interest of Ghanaians to exercise their franchise and not appeal to any authority. All right, thanks for that. This one from Osei Kofi Akwa. He says that he is the National Youth Organizer for the CPP. He says that both the Electoral Commission and the National Identification Authority should embark on continuous registration. Apart from a lot of people being underprivileged to get these forms of identification, a lot of Ghanaians are turning the age of which they are legally allowed to possess these cards. Making these registrations seasonal is wrong, and very soon people will start going to courts. Well, as for the court, you always be told that that is where you go. Mba Inwa says that the NIA municipal office in Bolgatanga has not printed cards for the past 1 week because they have no empty cards to print, no electricity. 3 days to the deadline, they had no cards to print with the long queues at the office. How can the EC then rely on this inefficient system to demand that this is the only means to prove that you're a citizen to be registered for elections? And finally, Raymond from the Immigrations gives me an education that in Ghana, a child, in fact, a one-month-old child, is issued a passport to enable the children travel with the parents. And this is a form of identification. So Madame Nanaya Jantua is correct about that. Thank you very much for your intervention as well. So let's begin with Kofi Bentle on this matter. We know that there are political parties on the EC's website that we only know on the website. Beyond that, we don't know them anywhere else. There are some that we know. We only know them by the individual that asserts that he or she is their presidential candidate. So 27 of them are sitting on the EC's website as political parties. At 2021, 1992, we had 13 of them. 1979, we had 11 of them. 1972, we had 12 of them. 1969, we had 5 of them. And 1957, we had 8 of them. What do you say of the process that the EC is embarking on?
So again, the Constitution is clear that the EC has to clean up the list of entities that consider themselves political parties. The EC serially, over many years, refused to do so. And in the process, I can say that the EC constituted that whole scheme into something that they will use for their purpose. And that is what you see on IPAC. And I mean blunt, Mr. Sibokoku should explain here. There can be no reason why a political party, which by law should not exist, should be allowed by the EC to sit in meetings with the MPP or NDC and have the same vote as them. There, I am waiting for the argument that trumps this viewpoint that we have held, that only political parties who have, one, ever been in government, and two, have a representation in parliament, and three, have submitted their necessary papers, including audited accounts, should be on IPAC. Why I'm saying the EC has constituted this into something that they use is that, how do you allow all these parties into a place like IPAC, and they show up in other places, for instance, at Imani, we refuse to deal with them. How do you allow them to be in IPAC after you have arguments from NDC, you have arguments from NPP, arguments from CPP, okay? Then you have these people vote and make nonsense of their participation and their arguments. If I am NDC, I will stop coming. And I say this because this has gone on despite all kinds of protestations, and there is no reason why the EC is doing so. I can speak to the fact that we also obtained in 2018 a ruling, a judgment that says they need to enforce the law, at least on political party accounts. They have refused to do so. So EC clearly has designed its own system, which is unlawful, by which it allows certain entities, including one-man parties, parading as national political parties, who don't have offices anywhere, even much as say in every region, even in Accra, we don't know their offices. And they allow them to parade and have the same vote and make arguments and basically ultimately lead to EC doing whatever it wants. When you do that, you would have the credible participants in this process leave, like NDC has left. And I don't see why we should again allow EC to continue to do so. It must obey the law, clean up that register, so we have a meaningful dialogue among the political parties who essentially are the ones who run this country,
You are talking about that the NDC is complaining about. There are those who also say, but why? When the NDC was in power, they encouraged some of these, because once you are in power, you need, you know, some of these parties to be there to go to IPAC to help you get the votes. So they actually sponsor them.
It is easy. You see, political parties do everything they need to win an election. They don't have morals about that. Winning the election is the ultimate. But the EC is a legal institution which has laws and rules, and there are ways of doing things. So if you are EC and you let NDC come and tell you what to do and you do it, let MPP come and tell you what to do and you do it, you have become a lawless organization. Mm. And I have all these problems with EC because, look, they keep threatening this democracy. Mr. Sibokoku should tell us why one-man parties, we don't have offices even in Accra, okay? Whether they are working for MPP or NDC, why they allow them to sit in IPAC. Mm. And this is why NDC, which is a credible party, which could end up being in government because they've been in government many times, has left a very important forum. This is the undoing of the whole system. Okay, so whoever is using whichever political party, it is easy that has to clean it up. And the law, including the Constitution, gives them sufficient power to clean it up. Why are they not doing it?
Dr. Sakwapong, the Political Parties Act 2000, Act 574, is what actually dictates these things and empowers the EC to take the steps that it is taking. In fact, there are actually consequences that those parties that are defaulting should suffer, but we've never seen them suffer any of those consequences, including cancellation of the provisional certificate that they give them. But Section 9 requires that they must have branches in all regions. It's a requirement. To be a political party in Ghana, you must have branches in all regions. Then you must have presence in two-thirds of the districts in each region. And then you must have at least a founding member in each district. What do you say about what they are doing now? Even though, even from Afarijan's time, they didn't feel that this was something to focus on.
Well, the law is very clear. I don't know why, as Kofi said, for all of these years, the EC may not have enforced this law in dealing with these parties. If you look at the law clearly, I believe that, you know, the intention behind this was to ensure that our political parties would have a national character and not be sort of like a regional-based party or a district-based party, that kind of a thing. So for me, this is, although belatedly, I think it's the step in the right direction. In fact, I'm glad that the EC is doing this, because one of the things that I have also said I look forward to the EC doing one day is also strongly enforcing the provision about the audited accounts of the political parties. Yes, it may mean that, you know, you would decertify certain political parties. And yes, it's not easy setting up a political party with a national character. But the business of forming political parties, although challenging, is also very serious business. So I agree with the move of the EC to ensure that you have, you know, the parties that are formed meet the letter and spirit of the law, and then they are not used and abused like Kofi was describing in certain avenues.
So that, you know, we have these mushrooming, some people call them the nuisance parties, or even people setting up the parties for private business, so to speak. Now, so that if the exercise that the EC is undertaking leads to a result where you have only NDC and MPP, or perhaps CPP, PNC, and maybe the Indoms Party, PPP, only left on their books, you will subscribe to that? Does that help the nurturing of the democracy of, you know, ideas?
I mean, I will be okay with that. I mean, if we are not okay with that, then we need to change the law. We need to change the law that allows for certain deviations of parties with national character. But for now, if this is the law, we often say that, you know, laws don't work in Ghana. And then when an institution wants to enforce the laws, then we sometimes end up raising some of these things. But again, I will be okay with that. It just says that, look, we are not against the formation of political parties. In fact, if you look at Afrobarometer, 7 out of 10 Ghanaians do say that we need more political parties so Ghanaians can have a choice in who they vote for and who represents them. That's a very good signal. You just have to make sure that whatever party you're forming meets the law and has that national character. And the EC being the institution charged with ensuring that you meet those requirements, I believe they are taking the step in the right direction.
If it is
for political parties, that's fine.
Doc, is it the third force Ghanaians are clamoring for, or more political parties? Is it quality or quantity?
I think I believe it's quality. I think also sometimes a little quantity doesn't help. If we end up with 4 or 5 political parties, that's great. But ultimately, in most multi-party democracies, like the style we have, you would end up with 2 very dominant political parties. But kudos to the EC. Like I said, the next thing I'm looking forward to is political party financing and enforcing the rules around audited accounts of political parties. So kudos to them.
Right. Dr. Sribo Okweku, I'll come to you before I go to Nanaya. And I have my biases, and I think you already know them, because at the Kodeo High Level Post-Election Stakeholders Review that is held after every election, in the last 2 occasions, I have presented papers, and in these papers, I have castigated you for being derelict in enforcing the law, particularly in this area, and where the law requires for accounting by the various political parties, and there are clear sanctions where non-compliance attracts a fine from any amount to a maximum of 120 million Ghana cedis. And we see most of the parties, they are guilty, almost all of them, and yet we never apply this. The individuals too could face up to 2 years in prison for the infractions that they engage in. You never cancel their certificates, and the established parties, so to speak, are also not, you know, complying with the accounting regime, and yet you never do anything about them. Question is, why now?
Something I would have been happy if Nanaya had spoken before me.
I want Nanaya to hear you before she speaks.
Okay. So first, from my friend Dr. Bejian's time to date, it has been the policy of the Commission that we should allow the democracy to grow. Because if we are to be striking, then we may end up not having any political parties to exist to perform what the democracy is all about. But after 30 years of practice, we are thinking that we have grown, that any political party that wanted to grow would have grown with our democracy. So now there's a committee, and I happen to be the chair of the committee. So we've gone to the field, all the districts, to gather our data on the party activity offices at the district and the regions and the national. I've given my committee summary of the results to the commission. We have prepared our draft of the report, and I believe that God willing, by the end of the next week, the report should be ready. And I also want to say that the coming to office of the current administration, they have also established the legal department, and now we have a good team there. They have also reinforced and developed some template for the political parties to even to guide them about how to present their accounts. Because by law, after 3 months of free election, they have to present their expenditure and where they came from them. Then annually, they have to bring the audited accounts on it, and some of them had submitted them. So we are going to look at the issues with respect to party organization in terms of offices and their finance. Then the commission will take a decision. And I believe Samson, as a lawyer, I'll be disappointed if any political party will come and defend it when we strike.
When I'm called upon to do my work, don't talk about where I stand. Thank you very much. Nanaya, what do you say about the move? Because there are people who feel that, you know, parties with a lot of rich history behind them that have been in power before, but because of the NDC, MPP, you know, sort of swallowing up some of these smaller parties, so to speak, it disadvantages some of the smaller parties, and they may fall victim. What do you say?
Thank you very much, Samson. All I would say is that the EC is trying to implement the law vis-a-vis the issue of trying to let democracy thrive. Because as we were speaking, it came out clearly that we might end up with maybe two parties, which becomes a duopoly, and already the duopoly Ghanaians are dissatisfied with them. So I believe that they are doing it in the right direction, and that the moribund parties, some parties are just not there. You can't find them anywhere.
Right.
They only come up maybe during elections. Even at that, you can't even find them. But they are there in the books. So they are doing that in the right direction. Also not forgetting that they need to let democracy thrive. They need to let multi-party democracy thrive, because we cannot be in a situation where we have only two parties. That is a very dangerous situation. Already, these two parties are trying to muscle out any other party that tries to rear up its head to overtake them. So certainly, it is a good move, but as they do it, they should also consider certain things, especially political party financing. The political parties, as we stand, we look for our own funding, which is not an easy thing. So they need to also consider it. But my biggest problem when I read the provisions is that in the Constitution, Article 55, Clause 9, the one on the constituencies or the districts, it says that we should be organized. And I need some clarity from the EC, and we've asked this question. We had a lot of debate over it. What does it mean to be organized? They were very specific with the original one that you should be present with offices. But when it came to the district, they say you should be organized. And what does it actually mean to be organized? Especially in this day and age of digitalization, of social media and all that. What do you mean if you say somebody, a group should be organized? And we believe that there should be clarity on that matter. All of us. It is not only when we had the argument, both MPP and all of us talked about it. So I think the EC should come out with some clarity. If there's the need to also look at the Constitution for us to amend it in a certain way, for it to reflect the context in which we are. This Constitution was done in 1992. It's over 30 years. And at the context at the time, what was existing, we need to also look at that.
But what the EC is relying on now is the 2000 Political Parties Act. That is where they draw their strength
to do what they are doing. I mean, when you read the old one and this one, the difference is not much. It is like the 1979 Constitution to the 1992 one. When you look through it, the differences are not much. And even if it's 2022 years, we need to look at it carefully. And also, they should bring clarity to that clause of organized, that you should be organized in 2/3 of all the districts. Dr. Issa should tell us what it means, because we had the argument, we talked about it, we didn't come to a conclusion. But at least the move is good, that they need to take out some moribund political party to send a signal that if you are not ready to be part.
Just hold on briefly. I have Sribo and Dr. Kweku, Kofi Bentil, they are putting their hands up. I suppose they want to give the clarity. Section 9 of the Political Parties Act 2000 speaks that they should have branches in all regions. That's clear enough, is it not?
Then
C says at least have a founding member in each district. That is also clear. So Nanaya is asking you, Kofi, you are a lawyer, what does it mean to have presence or be organized in 2/3 of districts in each region?
So Samson, the laws of interpretation are simple. You take the ordinary meaning of what is written. Mm-hmm. And we need to make this point very clear. The law does not force you to have a political party before you can stand for election. The law supposes that if you want to be a political party, to organize a government and want to show yourself as organized so that people will give you value for that, then just like you're going to appoint regional ministers, you are going to appoint over 4,000 people across this country, and you are going to have to do so many things on a national scale, please show us some indication that you are capable of doing that. So it is what it says, be organized there. And then the law allows you, if you cannot do that, go. So you have one man.
I think Vanaya raises a very important question, which can lead to a discriminatory or exercise of discretion. What does it mean to be organized in those places? Where it says you must have a founding member, that's clear enough. Where it says you must have branch, that is clear enough. But organized, what represents organized?
So again, rules of interpretation. Organized means you must have some sort of a presence. And in this day and age of Zoom, I would allow some latitude on that, okay? So this is where EC can engage them at IPAC, making sure the important political parties are there, and then they define functionally what organized means. I am not one of the people who believe that you must be present in every district,
okay,
per se.
All right.
So it's clear, but please, Samson,
yes,
the argument that EC is using this to foster democracy is a flawed argument. Indeed, this has the effect of damaging the democracy. To allow people who are not by law political parties to function as such and have the
let's have Dr. Sribo pronounce on the questioning of organized in the districts. Yes, Dr. Kweku, what do you say? What does it mean? Does it mean if I have one member in the district, I'm organized or what?
Samson, I agree with me that as part of the registration, we always give them forms to indicate where we can locate the offices in the districts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are registering, you are going to complete a form to indicate that this is where your office is, that we can come there and see you and communicate with you. Then when you form a party and you finish, will you collapse that office? So as far as the electoral commission is concerned, organizing here means that we need to see them physically, that they are having offices there. And again, there was a statement that we vote at IPAC. To the best of my knowledge, we have never voted in IPAC. We draw and we move forward.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, this is where we draw the curtains because our time is up. We are very grateful to you, our guest, Dr. Sribo Okweku, Director, Electoral Services at the Electoral Commission. Kofi Bentel is lawyer and Senior Vice President, Imani Africa. Elvis Efriye Ankra was here earlier, Director of Elections, National Democratic Congress, and Nanaya Achimpem Jantwa, a General Secretary, Convention People's Party, the CPP, and Dr. John Osai Kwapong, Political Scientist, Democracy and Development Fellow, CDD Ghana. I'm Samson Ladia Yanini. Have a good afternoon.
Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.